Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with God from shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your hosts, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. During this special season of Ramadan, our learning lab will be a one-hour focus on how Ramadan positively impacts and benefits the courtship and marriage life. We ask you to grab a pen and pad and journey with us to discuss and examine the many ways that Ramadan can positively impact courtship and marriage. And while we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask you to share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. To do that, send a text or make a post and invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, it is my pleasure to present my esteemed co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum and Ramadan Mubarak.
Alaikum assalam and Ramadan Mubarak to you, Quran Shakir, and to our very astute listeners at IWDM Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Shadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduluhu wa rasuluhu. That is what God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, protector, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed 1,444 years ago in this blessed month of Ramadan, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in an excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Wednesday. And as Quran has already said, this is a special edition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. This is the Ramadan edition. That'll be for 1 hour, and respect for all of the believers in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and especially those on the Eastern Standard Time Zone, so that they can fulfill their obligation and have a time to break their fast on time, make their salat to Maghrib, and enjoy the iftar with their family, friends, and community members. We do want those of you to know, Quran and I would like to welcome all of you that are tuned in today. We also want it to be known that this is, in fact, your learning lab, so anything that you hear tonight, in the information education that we'll be disseminating on this special Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab in the month of Ramadan in terms of how fasting in the month of Ramadan and feasting on the Quran can actually be have a positive impact on the sacred institution of marriage and also our courtship or even previous episodes. So we do want and welcome your participation. If you have a question or comment, all you have to do is just press 1. And we're very aware that some of you are listening by way of the Internet, and we would love for your participation. And for to do that, you do have to dial into the studio at 714-816-4673. So get your notebook and pad and take some good notes. Once again, 714-816-4673, and press 1, and Karan will alert me that you have your hand in the air. We do want you to know that this Learning Lab, like the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, has the same foundation in that we utilize 3 sources, the first being Al Quran, the final revelation for all of humanity, and the second source that we use is the life example of the Prophet in demonstrating the Quran, and last but not least, the Tafsir, which is the clear explanation of our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Waisuddin Muhammad. That are the 3 sources that we use and is the foundation for disseminate the information education in this learning lab. And it's been traditional that we have some type of overview, and for that we go to our very distinguished, esteemed host, Quran Shakir, for that. And Quran, is always good to hear your voice in this blessed month of Ramadan. Sounds real strong and enthusiastic, as always. Assalamu alaikum.
Ramadan Mubarak. And likewise, always a joy to share this space with you. And to our listening audience, again, we welcome you. And last week, as you know, during the month of Ramadan, we are looking at how we navigate this beautiful month of Ramadan and courtship and our marriages. And what we looked at last week is this need for us to make our relationships stronger. And Ramadan is a wonderful opportunity for us to do just that, to improve the strength of our relationships. And all viable relationships need a foundation. And we talked about the fact that for us as Muslims, our strongest foundation is our faith, our belief, and our practice of worshiping Allah. We believe the adherence to God's word, will, and way is an excellent foundation that builds a strong and resilient relationship. And that relationship is first with your own self. And then you can look at that relationship outside of yourself. But we believe that Ramadan is a wonderful opportunity for us to focus on our own personal development, our own personal connection with God as we work to get to the tatakum, that relationship where we are reverencing God and everything that we do comes from that position or space of love for God and our revering him, not necessarily fearing as people believe, fear being afraid, but reverencing him and have a fear of displeasing him. We talked about the fact that those in a courtship can use the lessons and the beauty of the fast to determine their own strengths and the strength and connectedness that they can experience with the potential mate. We talked about culture, and culture is more than just food and dress and music and those kinds of things that traditionally we would have experienced. But we believe that also, or we talked about, that also culture is how we practice our faith. How we serve our God can also be an example of culture. And we talked about how it's a good way in a courtship that you can see how a person practices their culture, their practice of the religion, and determine whether or not it meshes or is connected to the way you practice and your theories and your values and your principles in relation to the practice of the religion. So that culture is an important part of a relationship, is a part of how you build your home. So you can, as a couple, decide we're going into this relationship making sure that we establish prayer in our home, making sure that we're fasting, and this is how we're going to do this in our home. That's a part of the culture, what happens in that house when you're practicing your religion. So that culture is an important part. And we believe Ramadan is a great way for you to look at those pearls that can come of that. We looked at the fact that it is important to be an obedient servant of Allah. And Ramadan exercises that muscle of obedience. Fasting belongs to Allah. We have other activities and other practices of worship in our religion, but it is the fasting that belongs to Allah. The others we do and we get the benefit ourselves, but Allah says that He gives the blessings, especially for the faster. And He said, I will reward them. And so we also talked about that you can't talk about culture without talking about principles and values. So when we start to look at being an obedient servant and being one who's practicing our religion according to what we understand that practice to be, how we want to read our Quran, how often do we want to read our Quran, will we read it together, will we read it apart, will we discuss it when we read it, all of that is a part of that culture that you build, and it's a part of the values and the principles that you have for what's important to you. And that determines how you will engage in the practice of the religion and your culture itself. And we also talked about how Ramadan is a way to burn the passions and the fires that are in us, to burn those so that they submit to what Allah wants of us. So we use this time to do just that. And that none of us should come out of the month of Ramadan as we entered it. We should all be evolving into new beings and new people, ready to serve Allah and ready to gain the blessings of a good mate and being a good mate in that relationship, inshallah. And that's the bulk of what I have there. There's a lot more, but I'm going to stop there.
I want to say alhamdulillah. And for those who don't know, alhamdulillah simply means that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to thank our host, Quraysh Akir, for always doing an outstanding job in terms of a recap, a whole lot of valuable information. So hopefully you were taking some of that down last week as we disseminate information, focusing on how Ramadan can actually have a positive effect on having a better Islamic culture. You may have an Islamic culture, but it should be enhanced in the blessed month of Ramadan. So, you know, Quran, you know, Allah put it on my mind and heart this week to focus on how Ramadan can have a positive effect in terms of even better communication and even more so, more diversified communication and conversation between the husband and the wife as they both fast, siyam fast, in this blessed month of Ramadan while reading the Quran together. Oh, I think, you know, this also can produce such a very positive effect in terms of actually creating a stronger bond between the husband and the wife. As we took this topic on the Sister Learning Lab in terms of the communication, the positive effect that it can have on the family life, and primarily we addressed it in terms of parents to children and depending on the age and the stage of the children and how, as we read each juice, how Allah is relating in the revelation much in terms of his natural creation and what it is that he has done. So to point to us, point out to us that there shouldn't be anybody or anything that you should want to worship or to serve but him, and challenging our thinking, well, can they do this? Can they do that in the creation? Can they produce the rain? Can they send the wind, you understand, to move the clouds to dry area? Can they produce this in the natural creation and all? But what I see here in the various Jews that we have read, Allah, in this communication, and of course we're talking about first and foremost the communication that we're having with Allah, because only Allah is speaking in the Quran. And so Allah is speaking in the Quran, and of course, you know, earlier we did, I don't know, 5-6 weeks on communication. So Allah is always the sender in this case, and we're the recipients of what's being sent. And Allah is speaking to us each and every day, and particularly if we're up on our reading in 1/30th that we call Juz of the Quran, Allah is the communicator. He's speaking to us, and we're the recipient of his ayats, his signs, his message. And much of that has been in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. But there are other things that are pertinent to us as a human being. These are instructing signs, and it's so diversified, Quran, when we are reading the Quran. And particularly if we're in the sacred institution of marriage and both are believers and mu'min, believers, and reading the Quran, and sometimes you can get one ayat that really grabs you, and you can't shake it. It's with you almost all day long. Oftentimes that becomes a topic of conversation and communication with the closest person to you, which would be your spouse in that regard. And we can also look at that in terms of courtship, those who are aspiring to have that sacred institution of marriage, in terms of their communication, how diversified it can actually be. And also seen in terms of the commonality, in terms of how we think, how we are reflecting, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, who is perfect and above any mistakes and errors and shortcomings, how he can profoundly affect our thinking and also our disposition and our behavior. So to have this each and every day, for 30 days, it actually is going to spark or ignite in our mind some thoughts that we haven't had before, because each year that we read the Quran, and if we're blessed to have a spouse in our life and you're doing that together, it actually ignites thinking and thoughts and the sharing of these thoughts. But what do you think about this, honey? It caught my attention too. And so then it precipitates. It begins, as Allah has said, that he sends the rain down, the water down on dry earth that produces new life and bring life to dry land. Where the Quran comes down, and it also produces new life. Maybe new life even in the relationship. That's a good relationship. It makes it even better. And then also at the same time as a better relationship, it makes it the best relationship, because would there be or could there be a better conversation, a better communication, an exchange of ideas and information than the word of revelation? I could say more, Quran, but that's the road we're going to be traveling down today. So I turn it back over to you. I want to say to our radio listening audience, if you just tune in, you tune in to IWDM Radio, and you tune in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Karan Shakir and Mark Shahid. And our topic tonight is how the blessed month of Ramadan can actually have a positive effect on the quality of communication and the diversity of communication between husband and wife. Karan Shakir, I know you have something to say.
Alhamdulillah. I do. I love it. And that's wonderful. Because, you know, when we look at marriages and the statistics that the world gives us when they monitor successful marriages and those that are challenged, one of the number one challenges is communication. And,
yes,
you know, during the month of Ramadan, as we are working to get closer to Allah and to understand His book, because it was in this month that the Quran was revealed. So that's a part of the reason that we're reading it. And
yes,
if we can look at the Quran as more than just pages with black letters on them, but really take them and synthesize them and wash them through our bodies and our minds and our souls, and then come out wearing the Quran, living the Quran. So I really like this, because this gives us another thing to look at as we are studying Quran, as we are reading Quran. It gives us an opportunity to look at, how is Allah communicating with us? You know, what kinds of words does He use with us? When He's reprimanding in the Quran, how does He do that? When He's showing love, how does He do that? When He's trying to inform, how does He do that? So this is a great way for us to look at this and to see how is dialogue going on in the Quran. And, you know, this is the model that we use for our own selves and our own lives. So I love that if couples are also looking at, oh, wow, look at how Allah used these two to show us how to talk to each other, or to show us how to dispute with one another. And, you know, He tells us that we should correct and be those ready to receive admonition. And we also should be those ready to correct with beautiful language that attracts the people. So all of that is a great way for us then to see, to build on what we talked about last week when we talked about culture. And so now this is culture, is how you communicate with one another. How do you interact with one another? You can go into a household where their mode of communication is that they yell and they scream and they throw things at one another. That's the culture of that environment. Or you can go into an environment where it's peaceful. My uncle and his wife, they never argued in front of the children. And I remember my aunt, when she was telling us this, that, you know, as a Muslim, she just didn't feel like that was the right thing to do, was to argue in front of them. And my concern then with her, which I addressed because I was a teenager, and I'm like, well, how do they learn how to manage challenges if they don't see you dealing with them? And so that was a conversation that we have. And so that's what we use the Quran as, an opportunity for us to see the model and then follow that pattern. And if we want to be those who do as Aisha said of her husband, Prophet Muhammad, he was the Quran walking. If we want to be that, then we have to look at all the different ways to put the Quran in our lives and then to live it, just as the Sahabas did. You know, when the Prophet, peace be upon him, shared revelation, they would learn that revelation and then practice that. And that's what we're doing now as Allah is communicating with us. As you said, He is talking to us. We are the recipients of that message that He is giving us, and now we take that and we swallow it with pride and dignity and then go out and share it and live it. So I love us having this conversation.
Yes, alhamdulillah. No, very well said, Quran. And, you know, just yesterday and today, and Jews, Allah was actually giving us revelation, revelation in terms of the consorts of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's always very important, and I know we got very astute, intelligent listeners, even if you are not adept in terms of reading the Quran in the Quranic Arabia in which it was revealed, some good expressions, and it should pique our curiosity to want to know even words that we may not use everyday language. Consorts is a synonym for wives. And there's a background history in terms of the life example of the Prophet in terms of after the Battle of Uhud, in which the Muslims were winning, but because of the disobedience of those who were supposed to have been protecting the rear of the Prophet and the Sahabas, and they had a desire to want to get the booty, which is termed as the spoils of war, and they was in the excitement to want to get their share, they left their positions. They left their positions. And in Islamic history, a warrior by the name of Khalid bin Wali, Khalid bin Wali is very, very well known in history, was not yet a Muslim, but he was on the side of the adversaries at that time, and they attacked them from the rear, where the Muslims that was given the order and command by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regardless of what happened, do not abandon your post and position. And it caused the Muslims to get sandwiched in by Khalid bin Wali and those who attacked from the rear. And in that battle, Hamza, which is an uncle of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was killed. He was an outstanding warrior in Islamic history. And one of the great companions of the Prophet, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was also injured. And so after that, a great lesson was learned. And consequently, the ensuing battles that the Prophet had with the companions, Allah blessed them to be victorious. As a result, there was more booty to be gained and spoils of war. Well, as the narrative goes, then the wives of the Prophet, notably Aisha, Rahimahullah, and Hafsa, Rahimahullah, Anna, Aisha being the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, and Hafsa being the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab. They got together, and they thought or felt like we should be getting more. We should be getting more. And what happened was they went to the other wives to get more support, you know. Now, this was not a sin. Human nature to perhaps want more and thinking that perhaps should deserve more. But the Prophet Muhammad was a very sensitive man to the needs of the very poor. And so the spoils of war was given to those that was in much more need. The Prophet was performing his role and responsibility in terms of being a protector and a maintenance for his wives, and they was taken care of well. Well, long story short, the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he left all of them for 1 month. And then rumors start to circulate. Did the Prophet Muhammad, did he divorce all of his wives? Well, this really had Umar ibn Khattab, who's the father of Hafsa, on edge. Well, he went to speak to Hafsa in regards, because he often, it was reported, he often would go to speak to her because, you know, she had a reputation of being a little chirpy. I'll just say chirpy. And so he would always say, please do not annoy Rasulullah. Do not annoy the messenger of Allah in all. And so he searched and finally he found where the prophet had retreated, like at the masjid, like in a little attic above. And so he requested entrance to be able to talk to the prophet and was granted that. Well, of course, after he greeted Rasulullah, the next question that Umar asked, oh, Rasul, did you divorce all your wives, including Hafsa? And the prophet responded, no, he didn't. And I can't remember the Islamic term here, but it has something to do, as we had the discussion before, in terms of looking at the Quranic terminology, daraba. He wanted to strike.
Yeah, the word is masraba.
Yes, yeah. And to strike the consciousness of his wives at that particular time. And this was in Revelation in Surah 33, which is the Confederates. And so, long story short, when he returned upon the revelation that was given to him, he asked each one of his wives, starting with Aisha and Hafsa, individually, which do you choose? Do you choose to have the glitter and the material gains of this world, or the word of promise of the Jannah, the paradise, and to be with the Rasul, the messenger of Allah? Choose. And all of his wives chose to continuously be with the prophet as wife and to stay with Allah's word and promise to them in terms of the guarantee of the Jannah and to be with Rasulullah. And this is this was revealed in the Quran,
mm-hmm.
as Allah has said that he would make sure that they would be handsomely given the material gain and all, if that's what their desire was. And we have to remember that these wives were considered as mothers of the Ummah. There was special expectations coming from them. And Allah even revealed that if they even did anything wrong, that the reprimand or punishment for them would be double. And we might ask, you know, this, you know, we're still on the topic in terms of communication, conversation. We should ask, and Allah wants us to reflect, why do we think, and I'm asking the radio listening audience this, I know the answer, but I won't say, why did we think it would be double on the prophet's wives more so than someone else that would be committing a wrong? Very, very important. So you can see how the Quran reveals things, even in the life example of the prophet, and showing what it was that he had to actually deal with, and what Allah revealed to him, and what was revealed to even his wives, and the choice that they actually made. I could say more in regards to that Quran, but I think I'm going to stop there, and going to ask our radio listening audience, why do you think, if you're up on your reading and you read that and it really, really struck you, why do you think, and we know that Allah is just and he's merciful, but why do you think that the reprimand would be double on the prophet's wives? In particular, and it's also that the prophet's wives was not allowed to marry after the transitioning of the prophet. So that's my question that I'm putting out, and hopefully somebody would raise their hand or press one in regards to this, because this actually should have precipitated communication in our relationship as we fast in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. And I give it back to you, Quran Shakir.
I love that story of that experience,
mm-hmm.
because it lets you see that the road to the peace and the tranquility and the joy in the relationship has
mm-hmm.
its ups and downs.
Yes.
And I think that's important for us to note, that it's not always smooth sailing. There are things you have to work through. And so as I was listening to you, I was reminded of the fact that inside of relationships, when we have our challenges,
mm-hmm.
this is an excellent example for us that sometimes before you start yelling and screaming and trying to get your voice heard or your way seen, retreat. Take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Allah says that in the Quran too. You know, you step away from the bed. So you retreat. And then the other thing that I'm loving here is that when he returned, he did not return with the plan to have it business as usual. It was
yes.
to let's air everything. Let's put everything on the table. Let's discuss
mm-hmm.
where we are and where we're going to go.
That's right.
This. And
mm-hmm.
we're going to use this experience to build upon in this relationship. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I would say, because no one has their hands up, so I'm going to just say, I think a part of this example that Allah has given us in this relationship with this family is that here's a model for us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have a model, something that we can follow, then Allah has to ensure that it's a good model for us. And so a part
yes.
of that reasoning behind, okay, if you falter in your word, then I am going to double the reprimand or the punishment or the challenge that I'm going to lay on you is going to
mm-hmm.
be double, because the impact 1,400 years later for us is as important. And so you don't want it to be something that sends us
mm-hmm.
in the wrong direction as well. So I really love this because it's teaching us how to communicate
yeah.
and relationships and how to deal with challenges.
Right. And, you know, alhamdulillah, no, it's very well said, Quran. You know, and we have to also know that the prophets' wives were also models
mm-hmm.
in terms of being married to Rasulullah. So obviously the expectation is a greater expectation. And, you know, I often have said that we know that Prophet Muhammad was the Rasul, the messenger of Allah, as we are witnessing in this blessed month of Ramadan in which the Quran came down. That's irrefutable, that's
mm-hmm.
Indisputable, undeniable. But he was also the Rasul of Allah because of the demonstration of revelation, how he demonstrated the revelation. He was true to it. He didn't deviate from it at all. And so, with that being said, the wives of the prophet were privileged to get the revelation as it was given to the prophet over the period of the 23 years directly. But also, they were privileged to be with the prophet in private quarters and to have an up-close. There's no closer relationship, human relationship, than the relationship of husband and wife. Please take note. No closer relationship, I'm talking about human relationship, than husband and wife. And, of course, Aisha, by far, was one of the outstanding scholars. I didn't say terms of gender. I'm talking about bar none. It was reported that she actually gave about 2,120 hadiths. And many of those hadiths that even Abu Hara, that sometimes some of those hadiths that he had as the number one hadith reporter were questionable. But the ones that Aisha gave were authentic. You know, just think, when you live with somebody, you're getting the revelation as it's being given, but you're seeing the Prophet Muhammad live the Quran. You know, so it's like you're getting revelation twice. You're getting it in the verbalization, but also as a wife, you're getting it in the demonstration where others were privileged to do that, and particularly in the sacred institution of marriage and family life. And you notice I said marriage and family life because polygyny is an extension of family life. So if you put that together, they had, as co-wives, they had to work together. You know, when they broke bread, it was like a potluck. They all helped out, you know, in bringing something and being with each other and working together, you see. So this is very, very important. And so when we look at even the prophets being granted to have more than four wives in all, when we read the Quran, Allah is not mystifying us and leaving us in the lurch. He's revealing to us. As the Rasulullah, the messenger of Allah, had to be the model for dealing with different women, different personalities, different life situations, and on in that regard, and how he dealt with that. Because you can't be a companion of the prophet and not have the loyalty to God's messenger and the finality of the prophets and what his life stood for, not only for that time, but for all times. And so if, in fact, your desire was more for this world's gain, more so than what would be promised to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and spending that life in heaven, that assurance and guarantee of the Jannah. That's actually, this is not Mark Shaheed saying that. This is in the Quran. The choice was theirs. And it was revealed in the Quran in Surah 33. So if you read over it and you read over consorts, go back. Read it again. And then have that conversation with your spouse, have that conversation, you understand, in this blessed month of Ramadan. I just wanted to just pick that, but there are others that in terms of the diversity, in terms of conversation. Also, I think, was it in today's reading or yesterday's reading? I can't remember. Which I think it was in the day's reading, in terms of actually speaking or asking the prophet's wives questions at that time, it was done from behind a screen. That's right. Something similar to a partition, but that The Quranic Arabia is hijab.
Right.
Hijab. And if you were to study and, you know, trace hijab, it has nothing to do with a woman's dress. Now, this down through the time, this is what is referred to as a Muslim woman's dress. But there's a correlation that obviously that is there. But this is how hijab was described at that particular time. And this is something that is noteworthy, you know, because when you read the Quran, it's very, very important because Allah is communicating to us powerful messages that hopefully, God willing, that we would pick up. And those messages that are repetitive are very, very important. And the diversity of the topics, the things that Allah gives to us that are pertinent to the progression of human life, the sacred institution of marriage, the sacred institution of family life, and ultimately community life, the world of humanity at large, is very, very important. And the Quran should precipitate, should ignite more of a diversity in terms of conversations that we can have with our mate in this blessed month. And if this has resonated with you some kind of way, dear listeners, Quran, and I would love to hear from you, please press 1. You have a question or comment, or if it resonated with you, press 1. Come into the queue, Quran. I talked enough today. I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Alhamdulillah, and I love it. And I was starting to reflect on some of the readings that we've done. We're in the last 10 days now of Ramadan, alhamdulillah. And, you know, we're our hearts and our souls are doing as the Prophet, peace be upon him, told us to seek the Laylatul Qadr, seek the night of decree. And that's where we are. And I think this is a great conversation to have because that night, and we're actually this night now as we're prepared to break our fast, this night is entering into another odd night, going through the odd day, right? And so this is a fine time for us to remember that the fast, the worship, the activities that we do throughout the month of Ramadan, they are amplified as far as the blessings that we get. But in these last 10 days, Allah says that for the night of decree, that that night is better than 1,000 months.
Yes.
And I had done this design that broke it down by the seconds and the minutes and that kind of thing. So if you just do just that one thing, you know, like if we're saying, oh, mashallah, this month is valued at, I mean, this night is valued at 1,000 months, 83.4 years. One second, if we spend 1 second reading Quran, praying, doing these good deeds to earn the blessings of Allah during this night, that's valued at 23 hours. 1 second is valued at 23 hours of worship. And 1 minute is valued at 58 days.
Well,
this is the time for us to really engage in it. Take a minute to pray, and it's valued at 58 days of worship. And if you just take 1 hour of worship, it is valued at 9.8 years. If you just do 1 hour of worship, and then if you do the whole night, spend the whole night in worship, and that worship is our zikr, our prayers, our good deeds towards one another, good conversation towards one another, learning the deen, reading Quran, one night, 83.4 years. Allahu Akbar. Imagine the majesty and the mercy and, of such a wonderful God. So we talk about these last 10 days, and we talk about how Allah says that in the last 10 days,
then the thing that he grants for us is the salvation, the liberation from the fires that burn us, the fires, the passions that we have. Look at that. Look at Allah's mercy for us. So he's already granted us the first 10 days of mercy.
Yes.
And the second 10 days of forgiveness. And now we're in this liberation from the passions, the things that keep us tied to the world.
Yes.
Allah is liberating us. And we have to lay the foundation with the reading of his book and the prayers and the fasting in those first 20 days to get to these last 10 days so we can get to this night of decree. And we don't know which night it is. We just know it's an odd night.
That's right.
And, you know, we believe in our community that it's probably the 27th, but we don't know.
Yes.
And so we spend this time getting closer. So this opportunity for couples to improve the way they communicate by going back to the Quran and reading it, talking with one another, using it as the model and the gauge for how you're going to communicate such that we remember what Allah said to us in all the other days that we've read and the ones to come where he says to us we don't be rude in speech. We got that in Surah 3 when we were reading. He said, don't be rude. He told us to restrain our anger. He told us that we cannot be arrogant in when we communicate. And, you know, speak to people mildly is what he said in 22. And so all of this, now we have the opportunity to use it, to use it. And there's so many other things that Allah says to us, you know, about being rude and all of that to us. So now let's go back and look at how does Allah model for us communication? What does he want us to do when we're communicating? How do we honor our faith through our use of Quran during this time of fasting and getting closer as a couple and getting closer then also as a family and, inshallah, getting closer as a community?
Alhamdulillah. I said takbir, Allahu Akbar. Oh, that was excellent. I tell you, I'm taking notes here in the STL. Alhamdulillah. No, that was beautiful, Quran. And I'm glad you went down that road because, you know, as we get closer to the end, you know, I did want to speak about Laila Taqadr. You know, in terms of, as we refer to as the night of power or empowerment, when the Quran first came down to the Prophet Muhammad, of course, we know it was revealed over a period of 23 years, but this is so very, very important that the believers, many believers, they almost camp out at the local masajids and Islamic centers, and as Quran so eloquently articulated, we just really don't know. Our community overall, and even the imam had said, you know, a strong possibility in the odd nights and the last three odd nights, which would be 20th, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. And so the 27th, was chosen as acknowledgement. Now, we don't know that, and but we do know that it happened in the last 10 days, or last 10 nights, in terms of the month of Ramadan. And this is very important. You know what you touched on in terms of we often hear about the first 10 days, that a mercy that Allah is extending to us, and that we should be extending mercy to our family members, notably our spouses, to be more merciful and compassionate. If you're already that, then that should be heightened. Conscious awareness, it should be heightened more so in this blessed month of Ramadan. And maybe just entering Maybe you've been holding something that you should have let go and actually forgiven your mate or what, you know, even if you're in the courtship phase. This would be an excellent opportunity to forgive. And the reason is, now in the Quran, you know, when it's mentioned in terms of this attribute, in terms of forgiveness, it's always mentioned first. Because all forgiven and most merciful. But for the human being, mercy is a prerequisite to be able to forgive. A merciless person has a problem, an issue in terms of forgiving. And please note that in that regard. And these first 20 days, if we're successful in doing that, in extending mercy to our spouses, our family, to our neighbors, to our community in all. And then this leaves us the last 10 days in which that will be liberation. And that will be deliverance, freedom from the fire of our own passion. And so in just this is what fasting in the month of Ramadan, while feasting on the Quran, is designed to do. It's to free you, to gain freedom from your passion, the fire. That's the internal fire of actually it ruling you. It's taking mastery over you, and you're getting where it's that you're supposed to get mastery over it. Now, remember, this is the prescription that Allah says that you may learn tatakun, which is a derivative of the word taqwa, you see. But that's by being more consciously regardful of Allah, and we can say be more consciously regardful of Allah's word and his will that's in that, as Quran so eloquently articulated, and Allah's way, the way that he wants us to live together as human beings and to value these two sacred institutions, being family and marriage life, very important. I also want to say as well, we have a few minutes, and it seems like every year some of us are confused, and even members have been in the community for a long time, even some high imams, you know, thinking that we'll be seeking the Hilal in the 29th night. Allah has blessed me for years to do it. Al-Mu'minun, the resident imam, let me go to the whiteboard to break it down and explain it. And I love that what you did, Quran, with as Allah reveals in the Quran, it's greater, you know, more than just 1,000 months, and breaking it down in that regard. But even in terms of when this blessed month will end, what we have to do is know and understand that our day begins at night. I'm going to say it again. All we have to do is remember that our day begins at night. So tonight after sunset, wherever you are in the continental USA, it will become the 23rd day. We're in the 22nd day of fasting. So it's not the 29th night. It is the 30th night. So the determination by Allah's decree whether or not we will fast for 29 days or 30 days. Now, so tonight would be the beginning of the 23rd day. The only time that you can cite the new Hilal is after sunset. So I know we all know that. So if you take 23, which would be after sunset tonight, and a week from now, you add 7 to that, that would make the 30th night, a week from tonight. And so then you will look to see. You will look to see if the new Hilal has been spotted here in the continental USA. You can't look over in Saudi Arabia Iraq, Iran, you have to sight the new moon here, which would indicate that now Ramadan is over and the incoming month, which is Shawwal, has started. That means that if that happens next Thursday, the new Hilal is sighted here in the continental USA where we live, and as validation in terms of the sighting, that means that Eid al-Fitr will be on Salatu Jumu'ah Day that Friday. If it's not sighted, that means that we will fast for the 30th day on Salatu Jumu'ah Day, and the Eid will be the following day, which is on Saturday. We know it's going to be on the weekend. It's either going to be on a Friday or Saturday, but we have to wait because Allah has already revealed in the Quran that the sun and moon, they follow accurate courses. And I could teach more on that in terms of the Hijra calendar and the days. You have 6 months that have 29 days in it, and you have 6 months that have 30 days in it. And there are 354 days in the Hijra calendar. And that's 11 days short of the Gregorian calendar in regular years, except for the leap year where they add an additional day. You see, so that's how you can do the pronostication for Ramadan beginning the upcoming year, and by doing the arithmetic. We won't do that now, but just to let you know, not the 29th, because see the reason you can't in terms of citing it on the 29th. Now we know we're going to fast. Most of us know it's going to be 29 or 30 days. It's not going to be 28 days. So if you try to cite it on the next Wednesday, it would be the 29th night. Then that means you only fast for 28 days if it's cited, you see. So we know that it's going to be 29 or 30 days. It's just that simple. I hope I was very, very clear to those, you understand, whereas you're debating and all. But if those little simple points that I've conveyed to you will help you so that we can do this on our own. We don't have to be asking other people questions and going to other ethnic groups as if and though their ice is colder, their fire is hotter or what. We can do this. It's very simplistic, you know, once we get it in our mind to know that our day begins at night. So that's where confusion oftentimes is. We think in 29th night, no. Always, it's always going to be 30 nights, but it may not be 30 days of fasting. So, therefore, we have to do what Imam Muhammad instructed us to do, is to view it for ourselves in all, and then, you understand, the next day will indicate whether we fast that 30th day or whether we're just going to fast 29 days, and that would be Eid al-Fitr. So with that being said, Quran, we're going to stop it right there. Surprising, we didn't get one hand in there.
But we do have a hand, and they've been up for a few minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's go let's go to them and see what they have to say. I hate to bypass. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yes. All right, 773-449. Welcome to the Course of the Most Learning Lab. Yes, indeed.
Well,
state your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
I know that voice really well.
Oh, God. I got a little late because I was on the road from Chicago to St. Louis. I'll praise the truth until I finally made it. The mercy of Allah for Ramadan for me, and it has been a mercy. And you know, sometimes we think we know ourselves, but we don't. We quiet enough. It said, "Peace be still." And it gives you the opportunity to do some self-assessment. And then when you do the self-assessment, you can look at that whole picture. And then when you talk about forgiveness, start with yourself first. You know? Because we can think things that we coulda, woulda, shoulda, or coulda did, shoulda did, and all of the above. But then when we said Allah has mercy, so who are we not to forgive ourselves and then forgive others? And then the liberation that comes with this is unspeakable, because there's a freedom to be. It's a freedom to be. Once you look at that whole picture, you can do it like a blank canvas and just become the author of your life and recreate a renewing of the spirit, the spirit. And so in Allah's mercy, you know, in his provisions, in his will, his way, if we aligned ourselves with that, then we can be the human being that Allah intended for us, and it'll bring happiness and joy and success. That's what I'm going to let you know.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alaikum
assalam. Alhamdulillah.
That's a great note to end on.
That's a great. I said ditto to all that she said. Alhamdulillah. Right on point, dear heart. Yeah, and that's valid points that you make. And so, alhamdulillah, we appreciate you always being a supporter and calling in and letting us know that what is being said is actually resonating with you. So, Quran, I'm going to give you the last words that you would like to leave with our radio listening audience. I've enjoyed it tonight here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. What would you like to leave? And be sure to let our radio listening audience know how they can get in contact with us, because just based on what I said, we will have next Thursday, we'll still be in the blessed month of Ramadan. And we know it would be the 30th night, and then we'll be returning back to our regular schedule the following week, correct?
Alhamdulillah. I just want to thank you and thank our listening audience. So to our listening audience, we say thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. We know you have choices, and so when you choose us, we're grateful that you have chose us, and we pray that you've benefited from that choice. And if you did, we ask you to tell a friend and stay connected with us. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. If you have questions or comments or ideas for future programming, because after next week, we'll be back to our regular scheduled time, and we want to be able to provide programming that you want. So share with us. Email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And with that, Mark, I turn it back over to you with gratitude. Ramadan Mubarak.
Yes. Walaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak to you, Quran Shakir. I want to thank you for each and every Thursday with all the wisdom and insight that you share with us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I greatly appreciate it. And I know our radio listening audience also appreciate you. And I appreciate the radio listening audience, those who are able to tune in, those who will be able to go back into the archives and retrieve it, those who listen by way of the Internet, because without you, we couldn't have IWDM Radio. One said the beat goes on here, and tomorrow is Salatul Jumu'ah Day, as we well know, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Mikhail Sayer for Salatul Jumu'ah starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Saturday, oh boy, this Saturday we got a special, special treat. One of our very young imams, who is also a recording artist, who also now is the director, producer of film and movies, and he's from the STL, not the ATL, the STL. And see, I hear my partner laughing. You know, Mark, I need a little dig in on the STL. Yes. We're talking about the STL, not the ATL. My good brother and friend, Ma'am Rashid Mukman, will be at the round table, and I'll be dialoguing with him on that thing for the whole month, the blessed month of Ramadan, fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. He gave an outstanding Ramadan presentation last Sunday at Al Mu'minun, and so I decided to get him on. I have to get with my sister Anissa Dewan at another time. She's really tied up because Quran Shakir was did an excellent job. Everybody I had, you know, Imam Dr. Nasser Ahmed, and last week, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, outstanding job. Everyone, some of the most outstanding intellects in our community. So you don't want to miss that. It will start at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, and 10 a.m. for this Saturday special, the MGM Roundtable, Muslim Global Message Roundtable, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And then Sunday, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio, Words Make People, by Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that's each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, Words Make People. One of our new productions with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha. He hosts a production called ABC, not always XYZ, but it's Al-Islam-based conversation, and I know he would love for you to be a part of the Al-Islam-based conversation. It's on the Ramadan schedule, only for 1 hour. It'll begin at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al-Islam-based conversation. Please tune in. Let your family and friends know about this new production and come in and join in on the Al-Islam-based conversation. And Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, with his off-returning occurring guest, instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Please bring your notebook and pen, and that is on the Ramadan schedule. It starts at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And that's Wednesday. So the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudeen, joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, each and every Wednesday. And we'll have one more in the blessed month of Ramadan, as is on the Ramadan schedule, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live tonight, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with our very distinguished and esteemed host, Quran Shakir, and Mark Shaheed, hosting the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and we'll have at least one more in this blessed month of Ramadan next Thursday, and that will be 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. We do ask that you remember to keep your subscription of the Muslim Journal, and if you have the wherewithal, maybe you can provide an e-gift. Yeah, we should start thinking about e-gifts to someone that's fortunate, maybe a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or a community member, or perhaps a pioneer, or your local library. So think about that, because anything that we do of good in this blessed month, it is amplified, multiplied tenfold. And I don't think any of us, Quran, have enough barakats. You know, we should be seeking to get more and more barakats, all the good that we can do in this blessed month of Ramadan. So I want to just say, until next time, this salam is for you and yours, and may God bless you with the best Ramadan of your life. So until next week, assalamu alaikum wa Ramadan Mubarak.